Ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, one last look back at one particular race in Tuesday's primary as everything else pulls us strongly toward the November 8th general election. Also, we'll hear from a doctor on the rising community presence of syphilis. Plus, we'll talk to the director of communications for the Alzheimer Foundation of America. And coming up this week, a chance to raise money for the free clinic in Chippewa Falls. It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening. Congratulations to all of the winners and all who participated in the primary election this past Tuesday. The field is set for the November 8th general election, and the countdown is on, less than 3 months until that showdown. One of the very competitive races was the 23rd State Senate District, where Republican Assemblyman Jesse James of the 68th pursued higher office in a race against Republican activist and businessman Brian Westrate and retired nurse Sandra Scholes. We talked to James this week about his victory and asked for his reaction.
I am extremely proud of my competitors, Brian and Sandra, for being in this race, taking on a role in any election is quite a task. And now this being my third one, first time primary, I've realized how difficult this is to get through.
James says,
we all did a great job, and I'm very proud of how the three of us conducted ourselves in this race, and I believe it will hopefully set an example for future races across our state and maybe even in our nation. We did not go negative against each other. We each ran our own race. And in this case, I was the one that won the primary results. And the unique thing is hopefully I will carry this all the way to a automatic November 8th victory and become the next 23rd senator, following Senator Kathy Bernier's footsteps, and what a blessing she is and has been for me as my favorite senator.
It should be noted that there is no Democrat who ran in the primary, and there's slated to be no Democrat on the ballot November 8th in the 23rd State Senate District. Meanwhile, James says that he's very excited to continue working on things in the Senate that he was already working hard on in the Assembly.
Mental health, huge, huge issue across our state. Helping law enforcement with hopefully standardized medical clearance processes, any type of foster care, adoption care issues, addressing substance abuse disorders, drug and alcohol issues in our state. This is something that I take pride in. Come December, I'll have myself 25 years of sobriety. And I bring that experience to Madison, and it's all about life, as well as keeping our kids safe in the schools. These are the things that I am passionate about. I bring the public safety mindset, being the only active law enforcement officer in our state legislature. I will always back the badge as well. I will never bring up getting rid of qualified immunity for our officers, and I look forward to this next session as the 23rd senator.
Again, congratulations to Jesse James and to all of those winning and advancing in Tuesday's primary. Meanwhile, the infection rate of syphilis is on the rise. The rate of infection has increased by 81% in Iowa, 28% in Minnesota, and 34% in Wisconsin from 2016 through 2020, according to the CDC. Across the country, syphilis infections increased over the same time by 52%. So we asked Dr. Trevor Rich, a family medicine physician at Mayo Clinic Health System, Oak Ridge in Mondovi, just what is syphilis?
Syphilis is a sexually transmitted infection spread by direct contact with skin sores.
Dr. Rich says
this disease is really starts as a painless sore, typically on the genitals, rectum, or mouth. After the initial infection, syphilis bacteria can remain in the body for decades, really, before becoming active again.
Dr. Ritz says the good news is
it's simple and cheap to prevent syphilis infection. Healthcare professionals can treat and cure syphilis with antibiotics. it's difficult for people to know whether they are infected, or and untreated infections have dire health complications later, unfortunately.
And we asked Dr. Trevor Rich, why are rates of infection of syphilis increasing so quickly?
Several factors can increase a person's risk of infection, definitely. The most prominent factors are infected people don't know that they are infected. Again, it's a painless ulcer that can go away, but the infection just stays in the body for decades before being active again, but it can still be spread during this time. Infected people then unknowingly spread the infection to others. Newly infected people spread in the infection to others and can reinfect the previously treated person. That's why it's important to have both partners treated at the same time.
Now, while Dr. Rich says that the ultimate protection against syphilis is abstinence, because being abstinent means that you avoid exposure to infected skin sores, he does add,
if people choose to be sexually active, they can reduce their chances of infection by, one, having an open, direct conversation with their sexual partners. It's important for both partners, again, to be treated to prevent reinfection with each other. Exposure is risk, so limiting sexual partners, the more partners people have, the higher the risk of infection. Just talking more statistical chance. Having a long-term, mutually single or monogamous partner relationship, and that individual has tested negative for syphilis, this can really limit the chance of infection. Using latex condoms, which really provides a barrier between this partner's skin sores.
Dr. Rich also says the CDC recommends testing for all women at their first prenatal visit, as syphilis can spread to an unborn child. He says earlier treatment is associated with better baby outcomes. Mayo Clinic Dr. Trevor Rich also says that there are two simple and easy ways that people are able to test for syphilis. One, a blood test, which often takes only 15 minutes for the results. And second, a test of the fluid from a concerning or suspicious sore. While Dr. Rich says that antibiotics are available to cure a syphilis infection, he says people should treat syphilis as early as possible. Untreated syphilis infection can cause irreversible damage to many body systems. And finally, Dr. Rich says that the signs and symptoms of syphilis include sores on or around the penis, vagina, anus, rectum, lips, within the mouth, or on the tongue. These sores are often painless, round, and firm. He says because these sores are painless, they often go overlooked. And finally, underscoring the importance of treating syphilis, Dr. Rich says that failure to treat it can cause vision changes or impairment, loss of balance, hearing loss, or new deafness, and stroke. I spoke recently with Chris Schneider, Director of Communications for the Alzheimer's Foundation of America, and began by asking him to tell us more about the AFA.
The Alzheimer's Foundation of America is a national nonprofit organization. We are celebrating our 20th anniversary this year. Our mission is to provide support, services, and education to individuals, families, and caregivers affected by Alzheimer's disease and related dementias nationwide, and fund research for better treatment and a cure. We were founded by a family caregiver whose mother lived with Alzheimer's disease from 1980 to about 1992. And at that time, he really felt like he was alone in dealing with this and that there was nowhere to turn. And aside from talking to his mother's physician, you know, there wasn't any place to go to get answers to questions. And, you know, there were no helplines, there were no support groups, there were no programs, there were no therapeutic interventions. He really felt like he was dealing with it just on his own. And he never wanted anybody else to feel like that. So he created the Alzheimer's Foundation of America to be a place to turn, that when Alzheimer's or another dementia enters a family's life, they always have somewhere to go for help.
I asked Schneider if there is a way his life has been touched by Alzheimer's.
I have not had Alzheimer's in my family, thankfully, but the ability to be able to reach out and connect people with support and services and get them answers at such a challenging time in their life is probably one of the most rewarding things that you could do professionally. I leave here every day knowing that what the work I do and the work that this foundation does matters, and it literally is changing people's lives for the better, and there's no greater calling than that.
Later this month, the Alzheimer's Foundation of America is going to be hosting a free virtual Alzheimer's educational conference specifically for Wisconsin residents featuring local experts in medical, dementia care, and caregiving. I asked the AFA's Director of Communications, Chris Schneider, to tell us more.
The conference takes place August 24th from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. It's free and it's open to everybody. All you have to do is register through our website, which is alzfdn.org. It's going to be a virtual conference, so you can take advantage of it and participate from anywhere as long as you have a device that has an internet connection. And we're looking forward to a really great conference. We're going to have the former governor of Wisconsin, Martin Schreiber. He was a Alzheimer's family caregiver for his wife, Elaine, for about 18 years. He's going to talk about his experiences, talk about some of the things that worked well for him, some of the things that didn't work well for him, other things that he wished he knew, and he's going to share those experiences and knowledge and wisdom with others who are going through the same thing. We're going to have Dr. Lindsay Clark from the University of Wisconsin-Madison talk about common dementia risk factors and provide some information about things that people can do to reduce their risk of developing dementia and help promote good brain health and healthy aging. And finally, we're going to have Janet Weigel, who is a certified dementia practitioner and a former dementia family caregiver. She is with the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin, and she's going to talk about different safety needs that are vital in the home. So many people who are living with dementia and their family members, they all want to be able to remain at home for as long as possible. And as the disease progresses, there are adaptations you need to make in different rooms like the kitchen or the bathroom or the bedroom, for example, to help improve safety, reduce safety hazards, and help that person live happy and healthy and more independently and have a high quality of life. So she's going to talk about some of the adaptations and some of the things that families need to be looking at as their loved one progresses throughout the disease. So there's something for everybody here. And again, we invite everybody to take part. It's free and it's taking place August 24th. Just visit alzfdn.org to sign up.
Schneider mentioned former Wisconsin Governor Marty Schreiber will be sharing at the August 24th virtual conference. We'll be talking about his book, My Two Elaines, Learning, Coping, and Surviving as an Alzheimer's Caregiver.
He is remarkably candid and open about how this affected his life, but not only just, again, not the things that worked. He's talking about the things that didn't work and some of the lessons that he wishes he knew and things that he learned along the way that he now wants to share with others so that they can learn from it as well. So having that kind of openness and candidness and really informative firsthand knowledge is something I think everybody's going to benefit from.
I also told Schneider I was intrigued by the mention of Lewy body dementia, knowing a retired counselor in Eau Claire who recently lost his wife to that.
That's right. It does focus on dementia-related illnesses as a whole. Janet Weigel, who I was mentioning before, who's leading the session on evaluating home safety, her father actually lived with Lewy body dementia, so she has that firsthand experience both professionally and personally as well.
Mm-hmm. So again, this is coming up, a free educational conference designed to help families and personal and professional caregivers by giving them education, practical tools, caregiver tips and strategies, as well as information and local resources. It sounds like there's going to be a lot there. Like, how long will the conference run?
It runs about 2.5 hours. It's from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And participants will have the ability to ask questions as well through a chat feature. So at the end of each speaker's session, they can answer different questions. People can ask questions throughout the conference, but most of the Q&A will be done at the end of each speaker's session. So it's not even just that they're listening to what the people have to say. They get to ask questions directly. And if there's something in the presentation that raises something in their mind and saying, hey, I'd love to know a little bit more about that, or I have a question about this, they have that ability to interact with the speaker through the chat feature. And the other thing is, if you have a question now that you don't want to wait to ask, or if you have a question after the conference, or you can't attend the conference, but you still have something you want to know, the AFA has a helpline which is available 7 days a week, and it's staffed entirely by licensed social workers who are specifically trained in dementia care. And you can reach us by calling 866-232-8484. You can web chat through our website, which is alzfdn.org, or you can send a text message to 646-586-5283, and that web chat and text message features can serve people in more than 90 different languages. So if you know someone who is not primarily an English-speaking person, maybe they speak Spanish, maybe they speak another language, they can get help and support without language being a barrier. So there's a number of different ways to get information and get your questions answered. And again, that's why we do what we do. So if you have a question or you want to learn more about something, please reach out to us.
Again, thanks to Chris Schneider with the Alzheimer's Foundation of America, Director of Communications, for sharing with us about the upcoming August 24th conference. Learn more at alzfdn.org. And finally, the Meet to Eat for the Free Clinic to raise support for the Open Door Clinic in Chippewa Falls going on this Thursday, August 18th. Eat at one of the following restaurants, and 25% of your bill will help support the Open Door Clinic. Those restaurants include the Frog Hop in Cadott, Harm's Way Bar and Grill in Bloomer, Lucy's Delicatessen in Chippewa Falls, Old Abe's Supper Club in Jim Falls, the River Inn in Wheaton, the Sandbar and Grill in Lake Wissota, Expedition's Coffee Company in Bloomer, and Z's Restaurant in Lafayette. Again, eat at one of those restaurants on August 18th, this Thursday, and a quarter of your bill, 25%, will help support the Open Door Clinic in Chippewa Falls. On this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. If you missed a past program, check the podcast at WIB.com. Thanks for listening. Good night.